We are the center of the football universe, and we are also going to be the center of the media universe. There are going to be a lot of lights, a lot of cameras, a lot of drones.
Yes.
Hovering over this city, giving you beauty shots that you've never seen before. And there'll be shots you've never seen before, because I've got to say, I don't think the city has ever looked more beautiful or more alive in terms of the color and the eye candy. And a lot of that is due to the gentleman that's sitting across from me. We welcome in the mayor of the great city of Detroit, Mike Duggan. You're a vision guy. Did you ever visualize this?
Yeah. But again, I was a kid who grew up here. This is what Detroit looked like when I was a kid. You came downtown, and it was magical. You know, you go down to Hudson's Saunders and the movie theaters. But when I started talking about blight to beauty about 5 years ago, people laughed at me. Nobody comes down here laughing anymore. It is spectacular.
So many articles are being written about Detroit in the Super Bowl time of 2006 to now, and the transformation. And you were a part of the 2006 committee that brought the Super Bowl here. I mean, the change is just astronomical.
Well, in 2006, the Super Bowl host committee was a force of Roger Penske's personality. He just took it over and managed every detail himself. But, you know, I walked the sidewalks of Woodward with him in 2006 as part of the host committee with all those empty buildings. And Roger says, "We're going to paint these so they look like there's stores inside." I said, "That's crazy." But he did it. He didn't want out-of-towners to walk down Woodward and feel really bad for us. Now I go down the streets with Roger and all of these businesses. God, it was at Gilly's yesterday that Dan Gilbert just opened up at Woodward at Grand Circus Park. Four stories. Sports bar. It's going to be fabulous. Then I went over to Paradise Valley, and Denny Archer opened Vinyl Source, his new bar. And it is spectacular. So it's hard to even keep track of all the new things that are coming.
And when we arrived at 5 a.m., I mean, Lloyd and I were saying, we remember when we were just kids on the beat in this town. There were no lights in any of these windows.
This morning
we sat here and I took a shot. I mean, the whole place was alive.
It is amazing. And a big part of it is, of course, the people who have moved here. You know, when I was out of law school and working down in the Penobscot building, literally 5:30 at night, everybody was gone home. There was nobody on the street and nobody lived in Detroit. Now, the way the David Whitney's been converted, the way the David Stott's been converted, downtown's a neighborhood. And it is busier nights and weekends right now than it is during weekdays. We've got to get the offices back to work. But it's exciting to have a downtown that's a neighborhood.
You expect to have people who visit from out of town take that second look at the city and say, hey, maybe this might be a place I want to live and play.
These kids are so mobile now. They're talented ones. They can go anywhere. And they're, Silicon Valley, Miami, Austin have gotten extremely expensive. And so I think we could look at talent coming here. Of course, I would love to see the Detroiters, our best kids, come back after school and stay here. But you also could see businesses who come through here and say, I never really thought about Detroit as a location. I think they'll come out of this week thinking that way.
Well, the Wall Street Journal had a piece that this is like Miami. This is like Vegas, because there's an entertainment hub for people. There's stuff to do.
Tuesday and Wednesday, it was the most read story in the Wall Street Journal.
Wow.
It was about Detroit's comeback.
Wow. Well, I opened the New York Times today, and they wrote nice stuff about Detroit. So, and the thing I like the best is I was in Kansas City a year ago, and you turned on talk radio, and everybody was complaining that the Kansas City companies hadn't gotten any of the work. The people outfitting the green room came from Minnesota. Hmm. You open the New York Times today, and it's all the Detroit businesses talking about the restaurants. 25 will be open up on Hart Plaza today. But there was a company who outfitted the green room, African-American woman from Detroit. We were so intentional, and the NFL and the Lions were such great partners, that we did something other cities hadn't done. We demanded the Detroit companies get the work, and now they have this on their resumes for the rest of their lives.
Is that the 10-year legacy, do you think, when 10 years from now and wherever we all are, is that what we're going to look back on and say, that was the seed that was planted, and those are the businesses that are the leaders today, where they came from?
Oh, I think that there's no question about it. A lot of our Detroit companies are going to get a chance to shine. But, Guy, think about what's going to happen. In a matter of months, our convention hotel is going to start to get built right next to the Huntington Center. There are many conventions in this country that will not let you bid unless you have a convention hotel attached to the convention center. oddly enough, Toledo does, and Lansing does, and Grand Rapids does, but Detroit can't bid. Think about what's going to happen when that high-rise convention hotel goes up. And we're going a really good direction because the goal isn't to get their money while they're here for two or three days. Their goal is to make them think about Detroit in their long-term plans.
The train station will be opening up in June. And 6th. I remember you saying that when that train station opens, you're going to invite media from all across the country to come back and take a look at that because that was the picture on all the newspapers during the bankruptcy.
Every
that's all they talked about.
That shot ruin porn.
That's
right?
It. Yeah. Right.
It was the symbol from the beginning. And my first month in office, I tried to get Matt Rude in to talk about the story. But I told Matt, he had about five things he wanted. I said, I want one thing. You're going to put windows in the train station. And he said, that's crazy. It's going to cost me $1 million. He did it. And once those windows went in,
right.
People said, oh, my God, that building's beautiful. Remember, Cranes hosted that homecoming
that's
dinner.
Right.
And that led Bill Ford to say, this could be the center of the design of our autonomous and electric vehicles. But that's what you got to do. But it took that first step of saying, I believe this train station has a future. You're going to have to show people what it can be. You're going to put those windows in. And I've said to Matt Maroon, he made a return several times back over the $1 billion in windows. He did just fine. And the city's doing just fine. And, of course, Roosevelt Park that we built in front of it's going to be the most photographed site in the city of Detroit for years to come.
And downtown, as we say, looks great and everything. But the neighborhoods are coming back too, Mr. Mayor. You got the Avenue of Fashion, Dexter, which is the area I came from over there. It's coming up as well.
Can you believe what's going on over there? And so when I campaigned in 2013, people said to me, when you say every neighborhood has a future, you don't mean Dexter. And I said, yeah, I do mean Dexter. Now, it took us 10 years, but I never gave up on it. But I did the State of the City speech, and the 600 block club presidents in the city who have every day for the last 10 years been beautifying their neighborhoods, putting in parks, planting flowers, cleaning alleys. I think I've been hearing from them. They're finally getting their due. They're so darn tired of being dismissed as the neighborhoods aren't going anywhere. These 600 block club presidents have had a huge effect. Now, we got areas that still need a lot of work.
Sure.
But we also have neighborhoods coming back that nobody had really expected.
All right. I know you're an armchair NFL executive as well. Who would you draft tonight?
You remember last year when Brad Holmes took Jahmyr Gibbs and the entire punditry panned him? And we're watching the playoff run as Jahmyr Gibbs takes us to the NFC Championship game. I said, in Brad, I trust. Okay, that's it. We've got the right leadership. Dan Campbell's a great coach. But I tell you, Brad Holmes has been what's really critical to the Lions' turnaround.
Well, you know, the Lions have done their part because sports can bring a focus to a town that maybe other things can't. And the whole country was pulling for the Lions as they went through the playoffs. So
it was really remarkable. Every mayor's conference I went to, the mayors were cheering for their own team first and the Lions second. There was something about 60 years of futility that had people on our side.
We'd have people talking about whatever, like chemicals or whatever on the show, and then at the end they'd go Lions.
Chief White has done a great job too, and it's going to be a very safe 2024 NFL draft.
You know, he's going to get his report card Saturday night, but I've been totally impressed by the thoroughness and the preparation of Chief White and the Detroit Police Department. I know how hard it was for me to get in here this morning, so I'm feeling like security is going to be really tight.
Well, you got your Lions gear on. You're looking good. Enjoy the time, and the investment that was put in is already reaping huge dividends.
So. All right. Well, you guys will be warmer tomorrow.
Yes, we will.
We will be. Thank the Lord for that. It's nice of Green Bay to give us a preview of what their draft is going to be like.
Exactly.
It's 8:45 on JR Morning. Thanks to the mayor. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about one of the guys at the Detroit Sports Commission and how they landed this whopper of an event. That's next on JR Morning.